What's going on, everybody? We're back, and I got to chat to a fucking good friend of mine, Cameron McLaren. Cameron is a fucking sick comedian. He won Best Comedy WA at the Perth Fringe Festival last year with his show 6065. No, 6056. Whatever the fucking postcode in Midland is, 6056, that's it. He sold it out, brought it back again this year, sold it out, had his own show called Darty McFly. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's your typical gentle giant, hilarious comedian, just so silly, so fun. This episode was so much fucking fun. I laughed so hard, and I nearly had, I think, 3 asthma attacks when I was editing it. We talked about some silly shit. Jesus is coming back, and he's from Queensland, in case you didn't know. We talked about our journeys in comedy. Cam has basically had no exposure to heavy metal, ever. So it was like bringing an alien into the world and introducing him to something he'd never experienced. So that was funny. The cunty questions went great. It's just an awesome episode, possibly the best one yet. So please get behind Cameron McLaren. You can follow him online at Cameron Isn't Shit. So Facebook.com/CameronIsn'tShit. And you know what? Cameron isn't shit. He's shit hot. So get the fuck on board, because soon you won't be able to afford tickets to his shows.
Podcast initiation complete. Warning. This episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic noise.
Welcome to the show. I'm here with Cameron McLaren.
Yeah.
The fuck's going on?
G'day, Darty.
How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. Thanks for having me.
We're about to eat some fantastic lasagna.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm so excited.
I haven't been this excited for lasagna in a while.
Dude, what's the best? Is that not the best food?
It's up there.
Because it's sketty, but it's also like way more cheesy.
It's like plate sketty.
Yeah, it's
like
the best.
Civilized sketty.
I'm keen for it, dude.
Yeah, me too. Now, I'm just fucking with the audio here, if anyone's wondering what the fuck's going on.
He's actually just pulled out his dick. Yeah. I don't want to alarm everyone, but...
Call me Louie. All right, so I think you strike me as a man that needs the Lord.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, and did you know he's in Queensland?
I didn't. I'm very... What do you mean?
He lives in Queensland. His name is AJ something.
Wow.
AJ Miller.
Jesus himself is now AJ Miller.
He is AJ Miller. Believe it or not, his wife was Mary in a former life.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you want to? Well,
wasn't Mary his mum?
Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
How much do you know about Jesus?
Enough that I know the characters.
Okay.
And I know like the general plot.
All right, cool.
It's not the best story.
No, because I was in like...
It's a weird story, right?
I was in a preaching in tongues type church when I was younger, so I wasn't sure how deep...
I've been to one of the born again Christians.
Yeah, I was deep in that.
They're very into their music, hey? They play a lot of like songs and stuff.
Yeah, I played in the band. How's this? I found a badge from school that says praise and worship leader.
You were the leader of the praise and worship?
Yeah.
Boy. That's pretty cool.
That's a way to get bitches, man.
You should put that on your poster.
I actually would put that
on. Yeah, I'm the leader of praise and worship.
I forgot that was a thing.
That's dope.
And I'm looking through this thing of shit, and I'm like, holy fuck, I was that into it.
You should have retired then. That's a pretty cool accomplishment. I don't have something like that.
By the time I'd actually joined in a band that could play in a pub, I would have done 150 gigs.
Dude, that's some good training.
I know.
Thanks, God.
Yeah. Thanks, God. Yeah. That's aside from the head.
You
fuck.
And Guy Sebastian, you guys have got such similar careers.
You know what? That's exactly right. That's how he won it. The Hillsong.
You reckon they all just got behind and voted
100%.
For him? 100%. That's how Knowlesy was robbed.
Yeah. He is on Jesus CDs that I own.
Oh.
Singing backup.
What a banger.
So they're like, hey, look, our boy that sings in church every weekend.
So they even rigged it with the song Angels Brought Me Here. Like, because that was the song that they both had to sing, right? That was the winning song. So when you voted for the end, it was whoever sung that song. And then that person was the winner of Australian Idol. And that song got released. And it was such a Christian song. I was like, well, that's real convenient that it worked out for
him. I don't know if that was the producer's plan, but Hillsong got behind him. And that was what won him the votes. Because that church has got fucking...
Man, I should join a church. Sell me some t-shirts.
There's a comedian in Perth that's thinking about doing religious comedy.
Who? Is it you?
No. I'll tell you later.
Is it who I think it is? Like a...
All right, we're back from Secret Squirrel Business. Lots of inside talk. Who's fucking who?
It's pretty full on. I didn't realize all these mass orgies were happening.
I know. Well, I did tell you about the famous mass orgy before that happened after a wedding.
Yeah.
For a friend of mine.
Intense.
Spicy dicey for anyone listening.
The recurring character.
No, I don't think he's made an appearance.
Oh, wow.
But everyone that knows him is familiar with at least some of his stories.
Yeah, sweet.
Wonderful character. Let's learn about Jesus.
Oh, please. I'm so excited.
Former IT worker AJ Miller says he's Jesus.
IT to Messiah.
His partner is the woman who watched him die on the cross, Mary Magdalene.
Oh, that's convenient.
I have very clear memories of the crucifixion.
They both
it wasn't as harrowing for me as it was for Mary and others who were present.
The controversial couple are wary of journalists and insist on filming us as we film them. AJ Miller denies he's a cult leader, but there's increasing concern about his extreme beliefs.
I did resurrect quite a number of people in that state, including a friend of mine, Lazarus.
Me mate Laz.
We've all read the book, bro.
Many will see his claims as ridiculous or even offensive, but not his growing number of followers like those I met at one of his seminars.
What?
Here he teaches he calls the divine truth, a way for people to have a personal relationship with God.
There's like 50 people there.
Yeah, dude, this is in the middle of nowhere. These cunts have all moved there for this.
Luli Favor is British and a former neuroscientist. She's given up her career to move near the couple.
So it's just nice to be, instead of talking to people, you know, being surrounded by people who think you're nuts, to be surrounded by people who think, who understand what you're going through and, you know, the difficulties of trying to deal with all of
being
our emotions.
Being in a cult.
Yeah.
Through DVDs, the internet, and in person, AJ is spreading his word around the world.
Hey, he's an IT guy,
followers are invited to make donations, but he stresses he never asks for money. George Hamill recently left his business and wife in California to get closer to AJ Miller and his teachings.
You believe he's Jesus, do you?
I do, yeah.
Jesus would pull more than 50 people.
Hey, man. Even Richard Pryor started small.
I can sell more than 50 tickets and I'm not Jesus. The hell?
Yeah, but could you get a bunch of people to change countries to move to be with you and give you all their money?
I'd have to write some pretty good banana jokes.
Like everyone I met here, he insists there's nothing sinister about this religious movement.
I think it's natural that people form fears, but if anybody has a chance to look into it, they're not going to find anything that's really upsetting.
But plenty disagree. The Reverend David Milliken has studied cults for 30 years, has met AJ Miller, and fears for his followers.
The danger is
that
you'll be drawn closer and closer into his web to a point that you lose
suck
access.
His dick.
Oh, dude, how many of them have sucked his dick?
Probably every all of them. Especially that girl before. Everyone used to think I was crazy. Yeah.
Crazy for Jesus' dick.
I guess there'll always be people who don't believe you're Jesus who
of course,
will be quite offended by a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah, and there were lots of people in the first century who didn't believe I was the Messiah and were offended by what I said. And in fact, I died at the hands of
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Whether he's the Messiah or
he might
just
have been
make-believe.
200 years' time, we'll find out.
Ready to listen to
well,
let's kill him and find out if he gets back up.
Look, all my years being a Jesus nut, I never expected him to come back and be like, "Hey, going, I'm AJ from fucking King of Roy, and I'm here to save you."
Who does he vote for, you reckon? Queenslander? You reckon he's a One Nation guy?
Yes. Because
but that's not very Jesus kind of teachings, right?
No.
Jesus wouldn't be charging people money.
Jesus flipped over the tax collector's table in the temple because he hated it. So, no, he wouldn't be charging money. But, Oh, I've lost my point.
What I'm so sorry.
No, you should be sorry. It was probably going to change your life.
Dude, imagine. Like, gosh darn it.
You can't tell me that it can't be from Queensland. I'm sorry. I'm from Queensland. We can't.
Can't make the Messiah.
He can't come from there.
How do you know Jerusalem or Bethlehem wasn't the Queensland of Israel?
Oh, that was where I was going. So the thing with the Jesus thing is that Jews and Christians are like kissing cousins. So each doctrine kind of has a bit of a spot for the other.
Right.
So for the Christians, when the Jews have taken over Mecca again,
yeah,
then Jesus is coming back. So they want the Jews to do well. But the Jewish people are at war with the Muslim people. So because they want the Jewish people to do well, they don't really care so much about the Muslim people, which is why I think he'd probably be like, oh, fuck yeah, Pauline, she's going to keep the Muslims out. Then we get rid of the Muslims. Then the Jewish people can get the rock back, and then I can take everyone to heaven.
Man, Jesus got some complicated scripts, hey? This is what lets me down with the whole belief with the things, right? When you look at the Bible, there's a thing called Game of Thrones. Have you seen how convoluted that one story is with all those intertwining characters? You can't tell me God, the creator of everything, can't get all of that shit summed up into one structured sentence. Like, how? It has to be a million parables. Why? Because God, make a story that's just like succinct. It's got a nice narrative we can follow. Like, what? That's how you know. Like, if that weirdo, like Martin dude, can make like Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, L. Ron Hubbard. How he wrote more fiction than any human that's ever lived, and a book of truth.
Yeah.
he's literally published more fiction than anyone on earth.
Holy far out.
And
a religion.
And
that just happens to be the right one. Right?
Yeah, he's on it. Well, he got all the bullshit out. See, the other books, they went with the first draft, you know. He perfected all the sci-fi shit. And
imagine if you wrote that many jokes and then like amalgamated all that jokes into one awesome joke. That's essentially what he's done. He's written all these fantasy worlds, and then he just took the best bits from all of them, lined them up, and went, that's what happened.
Yeah, he literally did. There's like parts.
Can we do that? I can't do that. I want to.
Start a religion.
Oh, man, it'd be the craziest gig.
I think Joe Rogan's at the point where it's almost a religion.
Yeah, but he deserves it. I'm the same, though, because he's opened me up to... Oh, it sounds so dumb. Oh, my God, it is a religion. Because I'll listen to it, and he opens up.
Yeah, exactly.
He lets me meet new characters, and then I'll look at those people and what they believe and stuff, and then it's made me read more. And by reading, I mean I listen to audiobooks, because he'll mention a book or something he's read, and I was like, oh, I want to read that, and I can't be fucked reading, so download the audiobook.
But he's got this... He's at a level now where he could basically start a cult.
Because could you hear some of the stuff they talk about on that podcast? I'm like, how is this not... You see how hardcore those radical left people are when they're like, blah, 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 everything's bad. They never pull him up on it. It's like, because he's untouchable. He's untouchable.
They can't affect his earning power.
Yeah.
So... Why would you say
how much do you reckon he makes?
Lots. Like, I saw a breakdown the other day of basing it off what other comedians had said sponsorship wise for their podcast, and they extrapolated it out to his numbers, and it was something, it might be like $100,000 an episode.
Yeah, I heard something like that, yeah.
5 or 6 a week. Not a bad wicket. Here we are kicking it in Perth, Joe Rogan. Just doing it on the...
Give him a shout out.
Yeah, it's me here, mate. If you just give me a call, then you can jump on the show. Hypermanic Noise is waiting for you.
It's so funny. I'm familiar with so many other comedians' podcasts through Joe Rogan, other comics that he has on. Oh, like Duncan Trussell. I fucking love Duncan Trussell so much.
Yeah.
And I only found him through Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
He's a loose unit.
He is a loose unit. You're not a loose unit.
He's not as good as the Hypermanic Noise podcast.
No, we know. This is high tech. We're sitting in the bedroom. Hoping that the room doesn't warm up too quickly because the aircon's off.
Yeah, you was worried about sound quality. Whereas I said, you know what? Me too.
Yeah, we're very careful on this show. How did you get into stand-up?
I always wanted to do it, like forever, to the point where I used to lie in high school. I used to like wag when Melbourne Comedy Festival was on and they just tell people I was doing a show in Melbourne. Like I was, right? 100%, dude. And then, like, so I used to just bullshit all the time. And I was just assumed I was going to be a comic. And then after high, I think maybe I just assumed someone would just give you a TV show. They're like, hey, you're funny, here's this.
Yeah.
And it was one night, like, we were just smoking cones and just chilling out with my friends. We've watching TV and it's like 3 a.m. I turn it on and it was like West TV. And it was I grew up with this family, like the Pages, and this girl, Joanne Page, she was the older sister sort of thing. So she was like 2 years older than me. And she's on West TV doing stand-up comedy. I was like, I've known you my entire life, and I've never once seen you do a joke. Why? The hell did you become a comic? How does this happen? So I hit her up straight away, because I was like 24 at the time.
Yeah.
And then, she took me to Shapiro's at the Brisbane. I started going there for maybe a year, and just watching it. And literally from the moment I went there, what helped me, and I think other comics will do it, you just have to see other people do it really bad. You watch other people do stand up and be like, well, I'm better than that guy. And then you get up and then you're better than that guy and you just keep working at it. And
I went the other way. I'd been to like an improv night in London, and I'd been to see like Ross Noble, Carl Barron, that sort of level in theatres.
Yeah.
But I'd never been to an open mic before.
I didn't know they existed.
Well, I just looked it up. I'm like, I wouldn't try stand up. How does that work? Signed up at Shapiro's.
See, that's what I was missing. I was missing that. I needed to have seen Joanne do it. She doesn't do stand-up now, but I needed to have seen her doing it to be like, oh, wait, what? This is how you do it.
Regular people can do this.
Yeah. And then she like showed me that there's open mics, and I was like, I did not know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
And like, it's, yeah, I didn't, yeah, apparently it's a thing, man.
Yeah.
So it's thing, it always weirds me out when people like do it on purpose. They're like, oh, yeah, this is, I just seeked it out. You seeked it out. Like, I never would have had that thought, and that's why I never did it. So I wasted like 10 years, but I don't know if I wasted it or I just became a person in that 10 years.
True, but at the same time, I wanted to, when I said I wanted to do it when I left the Nut House, that was 2011. And then I didn't do it till the end of 2013.
That's only 2 years.
Yeah, but still, it took me 2 years. I remember in 2010, I tried to write material. And I'm like, I can be funny, but I can't write jokes. And then, I don't know what it was, something.
What made you click with it?
I don't know.
See, the thing that helped me was the Facebook boom. So because Facebook happened, right, I would put up, like, I would think of something funny and put up a status, and it would get traction. People would like it and comment on it and stuff. And I'd be like, oh, cool, and I like that attention. And then it got to the point I was working at a security job. And so you're just doing nothing. So I'd sit there, and I knew that about 5:30 when everyone was logging off work, people would get onto their Facebook. Yeah. So I just would start I'd have like that day to just think of something funny to write as a status. So then when I did stand up for the first time, I literally just looked at all my old statuses, and they're all just bits. They're jokes. Mm. And because the way I like comedy is short and to the point, and because that's how you got to write, I reckon for the first year, I was just using old statuses.
I've done heaps of that.
It's the best.
Even just for premises.
So it's like I was learning to write jokes for like 2 years before I ever tried stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny when those memories, some of the memories have popped up from 7 years ago, and I'm like, fuck, that's a good bit.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Just some rant I went on about some shit.
I use it to delete a lot of crap too, because also not these statuses I'm talking about, oh, that was great, getting traction. They shouldn't have been, man. I mean, this is nonsense. And it's so funny, it was back when like you would write in like third person, because it'd be like, Cameron thinks blah, 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 blah. And it's like, why are you typing like this, you dickhead?
And then you read it now, it's like, is feeling relaxed.
Yeah, you're like, shut up.
Oh, fuck, I hate that cunt.
Some stuff I reckon I've stolen too. I've looked at it, I was like, you didn't write that, you fuckhead. So, I don't consciously remember ever stealing something off people, but I look at things and I'm like, nah, you didn't write that.
But also,
liar.
Like, prior to getting involved in stand up, it's just everyone telling each other jokes they've heard that they like.
Mm.
Like, someone would tell me, oh, dude, have you heard this comedian? He's got this joke. And they'd tell me, like, fuck, that's awesome. I'll check him out. You know, you kind of, that's how you hear a lot of jokes, is by people sharing them around.
Yeah.
And then you start doing stand up and you don't do that at all. It's just, it's all you, man.
Yeah, it's your own stuff.
Don't you love it when old people come up to you and say, oh, mate, I know this. I've got this joke you can use in your act.
You can have this. This is...
Did you write it?
Yeah, I always ask them that, and they're like, oh, no. It's like, that's what I think's funny, that a lot of people think it's like a band doing covers.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man, just do this. This is a thing you can do in your comedy skit. Yeah. I was like, nah.
You can just buy Koshi. Koshi has released 2 joke books.
Yeah.
You could just buy them and read them and be a comedian.
I don't know, it sounds so wanky though, but it makes you think sometimes, why do you put so much effort into writing a good joke? When like some audience members will come up to you and they'll give you like thing and you're like, what do you find funny about this? It's like hell racist or it's hell sexist. Yeah. And you're like, if that, why were you laughing at me if you're laughing at this? Like,
yeah.
Why? Am I doing it wrong? Like, but obviously they must be the minority. It doesn't happen that often. It does though. It's always like an all white guy will come up and say the most racist, like sexist, homophobic shit to me and be like, and then like laugh and make me want to laugh too. And I'll just look at him and be like, it makes it real awkward. You're like, well, I don't get it. Like, try to make him explain
it. What's precipitated this conversation? How have you listened to what I've just said and come up to me like, yeah, fuck those immigrants.
Yeah,
like, whoa.
So 2 people were in a... It's like, what? What were you thinking?
Hey, you know what? So I've been looking... I like collecting comedy albums on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
And I was looking on JB Hi-Fi's website to see what they had comedy-wise. And there's like... So on CD, there's... a couple of things you'd expect. Flight of the Conchords, Kevin Bloody Wilson. There's about 12 things. That's it.
Yeah.
And two of them are King Billy Coke Bottle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You familiar?
Yeah.
The blackface dude that was just doing the Aboriginal voice. Like,
I thought he was actually Aboriginal.
No. A white Dutch guy that painted himself in fucking boot black and used to get up on stage and do stand-up.
That can't be. Nah.
Dude.
Are you sure? Can we Google it?
I'm 100% sure.
Because I'm sure I've seen him before. He is Indigenous, right? No. How is that allowed? I feel like we should email him right now.
Well, I don't know how they are.
That can't be true.
What?
I don't want it to be true.
Which part don't you believe?
That is not Aboriginal. I swear he was.
Nah, dude, that's fucking boot polish.
How is he allowed to do that?
Well, his comedy career died in about the early 2000s because of the protests and shit. People were complaining about it. Yeah, that white dude, Dutch.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, dude. So, of the comedy albums you can buy on CD at JB Hi-Fi, two of them are this dude going, yeah, I went mud crabbing with Morton and all this sort of shit. It's fucking crazy. I can't find, dude, can't get Joe Rogan album at JB Hi-Fi. Can't get fucking Steve Hughes. Can't get Jim Jefferies album on CD. But I can get two King Billy Coke Bottle fucking albums.
That's insane, yeah, man. I'm honestly stunned.
Dude.
It's holy like, shit.
And you look at the fucking track list.
Do you know what that says? Do you know what that says more than anything? Is that the Australian market for comedy albums is so fucking tiny, no one's even noticed. No one's even noticed.
No, they haven't said shit. I mean, there was a bit of...
you should do a bit about it and just start talking about it on stage. Like, yo,
I do. I've been writing a bit about how racist Queensland is, but I'm even afraid to just talk about how racist Queensland is because it's so bad, dude. I drove up a mountain. Right, I lived at the base of a mountain called Mount Archer. One day, I drove up there. There was a bunch of dudes in fucking hoods having a meeting on the side of the road, like KKK shit.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's so, like, weird to me that now when I say it, I'm like, it can't have happened.
I drove back
and they were fucking...
It's weird to me that people are racist against Indigenous, like, Aboriginal people. That's weird to me. Only because, I don't know, maybe it's just my generation or where I grew up in Midland and stuff, because it's like, it's been hammered into us your entire fucking life. There is no difference between us. We're exactly the same people. And they are. You grow up with Aboriginal people that... And then, like, you grow up and you still hear people, oh, they say that, like, and it's like, what the fuck? What Australia did you grow up in? Like, I understand, it sounds bad, but I understand, like, they say against the Muslims or the Asians or something, because it's not literally, like, every fucking, maybe it's just a Midland thing, because we grow up low socioeconomic, because I don't find anyone at my poor level has those opinions. It all seems to be just...
There is, like, an inherent racism. Where I'm from.
I get it, but just against Aboriginal people, I don't get it. That's like they're Australia. That's like that's you.
I get it, but that's just the way it is there.
Be racist against everyone else, but stick to you. Be okay with yourself, you know?
But it's things like, you know, if I think about my childhood, like I got my bike got stolen by an Aboriginal dude, I got beaten up by an Aboriginal dude beat up my sister. Like, there is a bad element.
Oh, dude, all that happened to me too, yeah. But also from white people.
Yeah, me too.
So, like, but I'm not scared of white people.
No, I mean, it was the same for me, but it's that. When those things happen and you're already in a racist environment,
right?
Then you're just like, well, fuck, that's the proof of what I've been hearing from everybody around me. Where I'm from, dude, is where Pauline Hanson took off in the 90s.
Oh, legit?
Yeah, when I was in year 6 and year 7.
Because she was against the Asian people, eh?
Yeah, she doesn't mention them anymore. She's okay with them now. Unless,
but isn't
Muslim
that proving
Asians.
Her wrong? That, yeah, she's like 20 years later, what you're scared about but didn't happen?
I remember
happen?
Being a little kid and all these big, like, fucking huge parades and support things for her and all this. And only last year...
It's fear, man. It's just fear.
Yeah, I went home and I said to Mum, I'm like, it's good to be back in Queensland. I said, Dad always used to tell me when I was growing up that we should just torpedo the fucking boat people. They'd stop fucking sending them then. And I said, it's good to be in a nice, tolerant place. I started laughing, and then mum and her husband both go, oh, I think that too. They're like, oh, fuck, I misjudged my audience.
Man.
I know. I just thought, oh, God.
I read this situation wrong.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get more sympathy in the divorce.
That's the issue with... That's the issue with satire, though. That's what happens with satire. Because if you do really good satire, where in your thing where it's like, let's proper sarcasm.
Yeah.
Like Stephen Colbert, so he blew up so well because his character is that right-wing conservative thing. If you're a liberal, when he says stuff, you're like, haha, that's funny because it's ironic. If you're on the right, you think what he's saying is legit. That's why it's funny. So both people find him equally funny.
Yeah, that's true.
But for other reasons.
Yeah.
So that's why satire doesn't like, it's, yeah, people are odd.
People are fucking odd, right?
So that's why you drop that bomb and they laugh, but they're not laughing for the right reason. You're like, yeah, we'd blow up the boat, people. Huh? It's good to be home. Like, yeah, it is, eh?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
I was enjoying before when we were talking about, and I was explaining to you heavy metal. It's so weird for me to meet someone that's like...
oblivious to this subculture.
You're like an alien that's just come to Earth.
Nah, man. Yeah, oh, yeah, fuck, I feel like that all the time. I know what I know, and that is very little.
But like, it's so weird to me, and obviously a lot of the guests on the show are from the heavy metal scene and things like that.
Oh,
yeah,
sweet. So, because I was asking you questions, like, it's odd to me.
Yeah.
Two big things are odd to me. I keep looking at all these band poster pictures. They never put the date on them, which is weird.
The year.
Yeah, the year. Yeah. Like, it says, like, July 15th, but when? Like, yeah. The second bit is everyone's wearing shirts, but not their own bloody band shirt. Imagine if I was doing my poster and I had a Kevin Hart shirt on, like, what am I doing? I understand that.
That is true. See, that doesn't work for comedy.
It doesn't.
But
is it to say that that's the bands you like? It's similar to the band that you are.
A lot of the time,
this is the genre I am, or is it just to be like, give you cred?
A lot
like,
of the
I like
time
this
is
band.
That too. Yeah, genre. So if you're wearing bands you're influenced by. Or if it's a genre you're in, or a lot of the time it's mates' bands.
Right, so this is just, I'm repping this band,
yeah,
give them credit.
You're in like Cameron McLaren, Cunt Ripper, you know, the Grindcore Project. That's why I wear your shirt and you wear mine.
What a name.
I don't know. There's bands called, there's a band called Cunt Ripper, I'm pretty sure.
Do they just not want to sell tickets?
Dicey, that we were talking about before, his band was called Cunt Scrape. And
suppose, fuck it, you're never going to go on 92.9 anyway. No. You wouldn't want to, right?
They had to get their album printed at a porno distributor because no one else would print it. the back cover of it is an anus, like right
just
up
a straight
close.
Up butthole.
Yeah, and you open up the booklet and it's like prolapsed anuses and prolapsed vaginas. And it's rank.
That's full on.
Their other band, Choke, had the first ever band recording in Australia.
Wow.
Because it had a song on it called Your Mum's Cunt Stinks. And someone took offense. So they fucking banned it. It is illegal.
No, it doesn't.
It is illegal to own a copy of that CD.
Because it has a song called Your Mum's Cunt
because for,
Stinks.
Yeah, it, that got traction and they banned it and there was a Christian group or something. They have like cease
There's
and desist.
There's so many
letters.
Different people in the world. I feel like, I wonder how much things I'm missing out on. You know what I mean? Because you've got this entire culture of people that are finding so much joy out of this music.
Yeah.
I've never even thought about it in my entire life.
You know what's weird? It took me years to get involved in the stand-up culture, like of making friends and shit, because I was so into music.
It's
for
just
so long.
Hanging out, smoking cones, being mean to each other. That's the stand-up culture.
Well, I know, because it turns out it's the same in metal.
Yeah?
It's exactly the fucking same. It's just how well can you all... rip the shit out of each other and still get along and actually write good music.
Well, I think you find with stand-up, it's so weird because you meet so many people trying stand-up too.
Mm.
So you can't be best friends with every single person who does it. So you got to like, I don't know, it's like a weird, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
And, well, also you've got to get in the zone. Some people, they get nervous. It might take them an hour of sitting there looking like an autistic kid, you know, to get in the zone for their gig. Whereas other people can just jump up.
Yeah, I don't need any prep time anymore.
I know, I've noticed that.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It trips people out too if you're like, you're talking, you know you're about to be announced and you're just halfway through a thing and then you finish what you're saying and just walk. Like you see them like, wait, what's going on? I don't know. I like stand-up. It's my favorite thing. So that's, I want that.
I sort of like doing it that way when I'm trying new stuff. But if it's a set that I'm like, all right, this is what I want to hammer out, I get into full autism mode. And I stand and rock back and forward.
Yeah, but how can you be comfortable to be funny then? How can you go from that energy to like a happy, like a good.
Because I'm bipolar and I basically.
Oh, you can just snap it on like that.
Dude, I'm uncomfortable at every gig I go to until I'm on the stage.
Yeah, same. But
I hate being everywhere.
Like, but, and then you get up there, like, all right, cool, let's be good now. Like,
I think it's because I was on stage so much growing up.
Oh, yeah, with every,
debating, singing in the church, playing guitar in the church, the youth band, my high school band, rotary quizzes, all the nerdy shit I was in. Like,
oh, wow, man.
Well, you know, my school went to the national finals for debating and all this sort of stuff. So no. I know. I've been on stage.
There's a national finals for debating.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
Which is, fuck, man, that helped me with comedy. Because you get a point. And you're like, all right, you argue this side. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. But it's basically a low-key roast because I write my stuff and then I have to rebut the next person. So if you go, when I get up, I have to rebut the things you've said as well. And I used to be the third speaker, so I would get to rebut everybody. And you would burn them. Like it was a roast, but civilized.
That sounds pretty fun.
Because I've always written.
That's your thing, you write.
Yeah, I've written short stories and like lyrics and...
How often do you write comedy? How often do you sit and write?
I'm inconsistent, but I think it's me being bipolar. Because I can literally, like I went and watched a UFC one day and wrote 20 minutes of material while I watched it at the pub. But then didn't write anything for a week. But that's how I work. Like I can... With music, I sat down one afternoon, I was going to record a hip-hop song, and I wrote this progressive metal song, and I recorded guitars, bass, keyboards, 6 layers of vocals, harmonies, mixed it, mastered it in about 5 hours.
Holy shit.
Like, that. It's just something how my brain works. I get obsessive, and I go...
It's like you have a piffy, and you're off
yeah, it
the
is.
Races.
It's like, yeah, it's like I'm on gear for 5 days with no gear, and then I crash, and then I'm fucked for a few days.
Fuck. But the highs must be pretty good, though.
They're productive.
Yeah, straight up.
That's when I write shit. That's when I...
Yeah, fucking oath. You make a whole album. That's dope. Like, that song.
The whole thing. And I've done that so many times. Like, and that song, I had nothing for that song. That was completely conceived and recorded. And it's one of the song I'm proudest of.
That's wicked.
Because it's about my friend that killed that chick. So it's the most heavy song I've ever written. Emotionally,
yeah,
because it was me dealing with that whole scenario.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it was weird. It just came space of 4 or 5 hours or whatever it was. I had this thing
with that's dope
piano and all sorts of shit. I don't play piano. I just know enough to write the music and record it. I'm not good, but you know.
Yeah, that's darty.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's weird to me that you don't really listen to music.
I listen to Eminem.
That's cool though.
Taylor Swift.
Is it because you want to bone Taylor Swift?
Yeah, classic. I like her. They're gangsters.
I wouldn't say a gangster. Oh, but...
Mate, you don't understand gangster rap then, do you? I'm doing a dickhead. I don't know. I like words. I don't know. I like Kanye.
What is it about Taylor Swift? Is it just that it's feel-good music?
I don't know. I just don't hate it. A lot of the time I listen to music.
But even that's not liking it. I was just like, so what music do you like? I like Eminem and I don't hate Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And that's it. Oh, and Kanye.
Yeah, I like Kanye. I like early Kanye, though. Like, College Dropout, like Registration and Graduation.
So
are those.
Have you ever thought about what song you want played at your funeral?
I'm not going to die. I wanted to just play my greatest hits of jokes.
That's cool.
Not really. I've never thought about it.
Really?
Nah, I've never thought about it.
I've got like a list.
Really?
Yeah. I want it to be like a fucking gig.
Man, I don't care. I'm not there. It's like asking, what music do you want played at the party you're not going to? I don't give a fuck. Play what you want.
Oh, I just want it to
actually,
rock.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna play something that'll really just fucking...
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
And it's just deathly silent. If you're sad and you know it, clap your hands.
When we were kids, my dad used to put on... You know that song, Ballroom Blitz?
Yeah, I like that song.
So dad used to put that on and my sister was about 4. And she would just run. We had this like island in the middle of the house, like this wall that was just sort of there for no reason. She would run loops around it for the whole length of the song.
It's
a ballroom blitz. So dad said at his funeral, he's like, I'm putting it in the will. I want Ballroom Blitz playing and you two have to run around the coffin for the whole song.
Oh, no. You're like, yeah, we'll do that for you, Dad. Yeah. Is this people out the front?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I just realized we're on the podcast. I thought we were just hanging out.
Anyone listening? There's people out the front.
Wait, guys.
Just in case you're wondering.
They might be out wherever you're listening, though. There might be people out the front for you, too.
That's true. That's a very good point.
If you're driving or something, just look ahead. There's someone out there. Turn left.
Oh, fuck, man. So.
Yeah, so you're going to have. Do you know what? I'm going to play on my. I'm going to demand, like. Cotton Eye Joe, just something that'll really like get a laugh.
Yeah,
they'll be like, "What the fuck?"
I like the idea of your comedy. That's great.
That's so narcissistic.
But people are there to celebrate your life.
Yeah, so just play some bangers.
Yeah, true. I'll just play like
Yeah, no, I'll play. Yeah, maybe play my favorite joke. I'll play Mitch Hedberg jokes.
Yeah, shit.
That's what I listen to the most. Yeah. If I had to say what I'd listen to the most, it would be. Dude, Mitch Hedberg albums.
He is the, I believe, podcast. The biggest loss in stand-up comedy, I believe. As far as someone who's died too soon, Mitch Hedberg.
Yes, straight up.
I can't think of anyone more unique. He has every set. Have you seen that set on YouTube where he does crowd work?
Yeah.
It's outside?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so good, though.
Yeah.
Because it's so different.
He's so scared of the audience, too, and it's so fucking...
But it works for him.
Yeah.
He's like, we should record this for my special. Call it Mitch Hedberg Outside. Oh, shit.
All of my favorite jokes are Mitch Hedberg jokes. All of, like, it's just like... It was...
Everything.
Do you know he broke... So they used to offer deals. So after Montreal, you do Montreal, the TV people will be like, offer your sitcom deals and shit. And normally it'd be like a retainer of like $100,000 or whatever. Yeah. Apparently he broke the record and he stopped them from doing it. Because apparently they went back and they offered him like $700,000. Here's your thing to make a sitcom or whatever. It never got made. It was just a retainer for a year to make a program.
So he just was on the shelf for a year, but with the money in his pocket.
Yeah. I think he probably converted that to heroin.
I say so, yeah. If your leg rots off.
Did his leg rot off?
He had gangrene in his leg.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Just run out of places to shoot it, I guess.
I never really looked into that side of it. I just listened to all of his albums.
I'm pretty good with those sort of facts. I'm pretty sure that was what it
was. Yeah, no, that's what I meant. I just thought he overdosed. So what else was wrong with him? Like, what happened?
I think it was just from maybe had an infection.
How do you know you get gangrene? Like it goes green?
Yeah, it like starts to rot.
Why didn't he do something about it?
You'll have to ask him, man.
I can't. He's dead.
I know. Well,
you are. Tell me.
Well, if we go to Queensland, we can meet Jesus, and
maybe he can resurrect him.
Let's hope.
If he could resurrect Lazarus, he can resurrect Mitch Hedberg.
He could. Who would you rather have back?
Lazarus or Mitch Hedberg?
Yeah, do you think Lazarus wrote any good jokes?
Yeah, I've never seen his Type 5, but I still prefer Mitch Hedberg. You know what I mean? Fuck Lazarus.
Even Mitch Hedberg's throwaway shit, like the, I like to wear this pass because it lets me know if I'm upside down. Yeah. Like even that stupid throwaway shit, I just...
Popsicles are for the summertime. He says that in one of his albums in between a joke. Doesn't ever reference why he said it. Doesn't get any response from the audience. It's just a weird thing that I've... It's like, what is that? Popsicles are for the summertime. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I agree with you. Yeah, they are. But like, is that the bit?
You're right.
I love that album so much. I've listened to it so much that you can hear like mistakes. So you can hear like where he's fucking... Is that gets mad. He ends it early because he gets such a huge... He does... I'm sick of chasing my dreams, man. I'm just going to stay here and...
Yeah.
Go catch up with him later, sort of thing.
Yeah,
and I get such a huge response that he's like, all right, and he goes to do something, and they keep clapping, and he goes, well, good night, thanks very much. Like he had to end because you're not going to be able to top it.
No,
maybe if he had 2-3 more minutes of material,
not in another 20 seconds,
he's not going to be able to get bigger than that. The response was so huge. He's like, you can hear him like, good night. Yeah. Like you can hear, he's like, oh fuck, man, I wonder what those bits were.
I don't know, but even just I watch because a lot of people have put up just shit they've filmed with their. Camera or whatever back in the day of his and little bits that never made it onto albums.
Oh, wicked.
Everything that cunt says was brilliant. Even the stupid shit that made no sense in the context of his act, it just
Yeah, it's because you're so in tune with his sense of humor. Because you love the other material so much that any extra Mitch Hedberg would seem great. But I think if he was still alive today, you'd look back and be like, this
oh, yeah, dude, for
which
sure.
Is, I wonder what he could, because you're only going to get better, right? You only write better and better jokes. Yeah. So imagine what he'd be doing now, 10 years later.
I found a Mitch Hedberg vinyl box set online.
Did you get it?
When I have the money in the next few weeks, I will be getting that.
Oh, fringe money.
Fringe money. I don't know if I made any of that. I didn't really... Oh, actually, I did. Yeah, I did. That was nice.
You were in shows?
Yeah. A lot of them weren't paid. Oh, actually, most of them were paid. What am I thinking about? I'm so used to talking about Fringe and not making money. I actually did make money.
Boy.
Nice.
People complaining because they didn't. But I don't know. I know a lot of people that got very successful this Fringe. They did a lot of tickets and they all worked extremely hard. So everyone that's like, oh, the Fringe bubble's burst and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, because you can't sit on your ass and expect ticket sales.
Hey, you know what, man? As much as everyone hates Jimmy, I was in that... Flying Camel Pandemonium show, and that was a fucking killer.
How many tickets was he moving?
It was average of sort of like 35 to 40 a show.
Okay.
But it was cool. Like, you know, it wasn't huge, but...
That's a show.
We had good crowds.
And they were good, though. The lineups were good. The audiences were liking it.
The lineups were sick. Like,
I'm just dubious when you see these lineups that are selling tickets at like $20, $10, $15, and it's just... open mic and it's not good quality open mic. So that's burning that audience.
Well,
unless you're going there, know it, but you're not paying $20 to see a show and it's going to, you want it to be $20 worth of entertainment.
Man, I reckon
steaming
that,
pile of
that
shit.
Well, we had like Mick Leadhill.
He's a killer. A killer.
We had Marrow.
Nick Marrow.
Adrian Alberg.
Crushes.
So I had, you know, John, and then there was a lot of other up and coming guys, John Pino.
Oh, he's good.
That. So, collectively, like, obviously...
That's a solid line. Over an hour. It was an hour show?
Yeah.
What were you doing? Sevens?
Depending on the night, sometimes tens.
That's a good show.
So it was a revolving lineup of those people. But obviously, you know, Jimmy's got issues with a lot of people and people have a lot of issues with him.
Politics.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing. I was just pulling shit out of your bed.
Oh, look at what it is, too.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what's this about?
I don't even know that that's been used. It's more of a prop.
Yeah, for the podcast. Yeah, it makes it like...
There might be some restraints going on here.
Yeah, it's getting aggressive, ladies. No,
it is. I've got 2 feet up Cameron's leg.
It's like, I like it. It's comfortable.
Yeah, good. Good.
Nah, so fair enough, man. As long as the shows were good, it's just you don't... I feel bad for audiences that are paying money for crap.
It was just weird because, so, you know, it's one of those things where I've worked with those guys in different capacities, like running a room and stuff. I don't want any bullshit, man. I just wanted to do shows, and shows came up and I got paid for every show. So
what's there to complain about?
And they were fun. Like, who gives a shit? I got to, you know, work with a lot of my good mates. And
yeah, and it's like 40 people, that's a good little audience. Where were you? What room were you in?
All over, man. We did the Hellenic, but we had to sort of partition it off.
Yep.
The Pado and Sibbin. There's a bunch.
Cool.
Did Midland, Stevenson Theatre.
Oh, yeah.
That was rough.
How many were there?
Oh, like 15. And I think she phoned a friend for 5. It was a good, considering how few people there, it was actually a really fun show.
We did a show there at the Stevensons and it had like 5 to 6 people there.
Yeah.
It was like, there was no one in there, but it still ended up being a pretty good show.
Yeah, that was weird.
Were there that night, right?
No.
I'm not sure.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I've only been there the once for this show.
I mean, it's a cool venue.
It's sick.
It's like a real fancy dance studio.
It's just, it's kind of like, you're not going to get foot traffic.
Nah, it has to be properly advertised.
I loved that venue, to be honest. I looked, when I walked in there, I went, fuck, this is the place to record like an audio recording or something. Oh, acoustically.
I see what you mean.
I don't know. Do you want to play a game called Cunty Questions?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can get this to work.
Is there a theme song?
Cunty Questions.
Right, man.
This is
God
sick.
Damn it. What the fuck?
There we go.
Daddy, that was cool,
that's
man.
Right. Fucking beatbox, man. That's how
is
we
that
rock.
You beatboxing?
Yeah, I recorded that one night because I wanted a theme song, so I just beatboxed it, and I didn't have a bass, so I just got a bass guitar tuning video off YouTube, boom, and then just fucked with the pitches and stuff and turned that into a bass line. And
dude,
yeah,
that's real scientific.
Cunty questions.
That was fun.
Cool. Oh, it's going to get fun. So I'll start off nice and we'll get worse.
What, you're going to ask me questions that are cunty?
Yeah.
And like about me?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, no, just unpleasant scenarios and things.
All right, cool. Yeah, I got worried that I was like, what, you're just going to bully me? I was like, all right, you time for the bit where we bully you?
As a child? How much do you hate your dad? Let it all spill. Tell me about your family. So like, true or false, what's your favorite color?
False. What's not my favorite color?
There you go. See, you picked up on it. Most people are just like,
yeah, no.
So you got it. I forgot who I'm dealing with.
Yeah, I'm dumb.
It's fucking 2017 best comedy winner here. He's not going to fall for my usual shit.
Luke Boland is the new king. 2018 Luke Boland.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one cares about old news, buddy.
All right. Okay. Well,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
I'm nothing but trash now.
That's true.
Luke Boland has it. I'm proud of him too. It's such a good show.
That's great. Yeah, that's. I'm bummed that I didn't see it.
Hopefully, he'll bring it back in some capacity.
Yeah. Well, if it did that well, hopefully he does.
He should bring it back next year. I'd brought back 6056 again, and it sold out awesomely. So
that's awesome.
We win. Yeah, he should definitely bring it back next year.
Sick.
Sorry to derail the questions.
It's all right. They're nonsensical anyway.
I know. Okay, cool.
So like you're at the edge of a cliff, right? And your mum's hanging off. She's just struggling to hold on. And then your sister's hanging on and she's struggling to hold on. And you've got a very important choice to make. Is Coke better than Diet Coke?
Yeah, Coke's way better than Diet Coke.
I just love watching people's face.
That little snap of like, because I was genuinely having to choose between my mum and sister. I was like, okay. I was like, man, I'm surprised at the upper body strength of my sister. She's killing
it. I was just like the whole time I'm looking on your face. You're like, what the fuck? You're like, I had this vibe like he's thinking, oh God, is this actually gonna be?
No, I was just trying to work out which one. I wanted to make sure I'm making the right decision.
So, like, this is one. If you lose your right testicle, is your left testicle still your left testicle?
Oh, that's a good one.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, it's still the one on your. It's still be on the left. It's not going to just float into the middle, is it?
I don't know. I think it'd centralize. If you have a sock with two marbles in it, you take a marble out.
Yeah, that's a good point. It'd just be your nut.
But does it?
No, yeah, because it's always the left. You can't change what you are. You can't change what. Oh, that was a weird thing.
Oh, Omar.
you can do what you want. It's 2018. If the left nut wants to identify as the center nut, he can do that.
Or the right nut.
Or he can be the right nut now.
He can identify as the dick if he wants to.
Live what his life. But I'm just saying, in my head, you're still the left nut. The right nut's gone. You can't just fucking pretend like that wasn't a part of you.
Unless you identify otherwise.
Yeah, he can do it. Also, if my nut has consciousness, I'd be more concerned. Why'd I kill his friend? Like, he's had a mate his whole life and now he's
why
dead.
Did I kill? Why did you...
how did I lose it?
What? Yeah, I like that your first port of call was that I killed my other testicle. Not that there was an unfortunate accident. Like, how did I kill my testicle?
Yeah, why'd you get rid of that one, you big joke? Just for the point of this question? Oh, no, look, I'll show you.
Oh, fuck. All right, man. That's good.
Is there more?
I
like these.
I've got another one, some that I've run by some experts in the field. So, like, you can have sex with Beyonce anytime you want, but you got to suck off Jay-Z first. Or you can have sex with Melania Trump anytime you want, but you got to suck off Donald first. Or you can have sex with Susan Boyle, but you've got to have sex with Susan Boyle.
I really want to fuck Susan Boyle, but also I don't, you know what I mean? Like the first time would be a hassle, second time I'm like, yeah, baby. Nah, well, that's this. Obviously the Beyonce Jay-Z one, they're both way better than the other ones, don't you reckon? Jay-Z's pretty good at the hippie hop and he's worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And but Beyonce.
You've got to suck
Beyonce.
His dick.
Yes, all right. It's Jay-Z.
How good's your gag reflex?
We'll find out, mate. We will find out.
Find out on a yacht.
He must have a massive donga. Otherwise, how's he got Beyonce? Have you seen his face?
Yeah, he looks like a half-sucked pawpaw.
Oh. Oh, poor dude. But he's got Beyonce, so whatever.
Hey, man. And he's cheating on her like a good guy.
Does he really?
Yeah, apparently. So I read in the tabloids. What a dick.
He must be gay. You'd have to be gay to... You know what I mean? Yeah. I thought he was gay. Like 99 Problems, but a bit Jane 1. I thought was his coming out song.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he's fucking Beyonce. What's the gay? What's gayer than fucking Beyonce?
True. Nothing.
Not fucking Beyonce because he's cheating on her. See?
I see what you've done there.
Yeah, 100%.
This is like the Tarantino of conversation. Cameron McLaren.
Thanks for noticing.
Comedy genius.
Loose unit.
What's all your social media and shit for people to follow?
Oh, Cameron isn't shit. If you type in like...
I love that, eh? Every time I read that, I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
So on Instagram, it's Cameron isn't shit.
Yeah.
And then Facebook's the same, / Cameron isn't shit. Or it will go to Cameron McLaren comedy, yeah.
And there's no thing, is there? Like, no, isn't doesn't have a...
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't use that.
I don't use...
I'm not about that shit.
I'm not about punctuation, motherfucker.
All right, I've named next year's show. Can I tell you? Because I don't know if it's funny. I don't know if it's just funny from me, right?
All right.
So I want to call it Cameron McLaren from Donaldson's Darren. Is that funny?
That's retarded, but yeah, that's funny.
That's why it's funny, because it's so dumb. Because you recognize that Harry McCleary from Donaldson's Dairy. And
if
you like,
incorporated that into the artwork somehow.
I just want to have the poster would be like a page from Harry McCleary and then like my face on the Harry McCleary. Like still like a happy little puppy.
That sort of shit for Fringe is perfect.
Right, because I want people to laugh when they look at the poster. Like, that should be a joke in itself. But also, I don't want people to think, oh, it's just a Harry McCleary thing. It's like, no, it's just... I just want you to look at them and be like, that's fucking a dumb joke.
How good would it be if these someone came jokes. To review it and they gave you 1 out of 5? Because
about Harry McCleary
at all.
Wait, that happened to us. Me, Matt Storer, and Brody Snook, in our first year we did Fringe, we did a split bill together called Afterlife Laughs.
That's right.
And someone from out in Perth came and gave us 1 star or 2 stars. It was something super low and crazy low because we were called Afterlife Laughs, because it was just a loose premise that the audience had died and they were in purgatory. And before we decided if they're going to heaven or hell, we're just here to entertain you for a bit.
Okay.
So that was the premise, right? It was me, then Brody, then Matt. And we fucking killed it. We were the best in the thing at the time. Yeah. We crushed it. Every show was great. Well, we thought it was great. We sold out heaps of tickets. And there's people came to review it because they were doing an article. Out in Perth, we're doing an article called Death Comes to Fringe. And they were going to see all these plays that were about death.
Oh.
And the person came. And literally one of the lines was like, they didn't talk about death. It was just their normal comedy material. It doesn't even mention how good the jokes were or what the jokes were about. We just got 2 stars because it wasn't about death.
Yeah.
So they literally just went off the title and went, oh, well, the show doesn't match the title. Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah. And so what the... did you like the... Yeah, so I don't know. Ever since then, I was real cautious about what I name shit.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's a thing people worry about.
Hey, look, if you're going to get blowback from that, you're going to get blowback from Harry McCleary from Donaldson's Darren.
Yeah, this wasn't Cameron McLaren from Donaldson's Darren.
That's fucking retarded. Oh, shit. All right, I think we should end it on that note.
Yeah, good.
Cameron McLaren from Donaldson's Darren.
Come check me
coming
out.
To you, what, 2019?
Yeah, dude, it's coming, man. Perth Fringe World, Perth Comedy Festival. Probably taking to Melbourne.
Yeah, it's going all over the world.
Yeah, I'm going to do Edinburgh in August. Maybe I'll do it then.
Do it. Yeah. Donaldson's.
There's a lot of people, yeah. I didn't think anyone else would get the reference. I'm pretty stoked.
Dude, tell the missus when we go out there. She'll love that.
Yeah, dope.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Cheers.
Yeah.